Adam Ranko join us here from the NFL Network in a moment. To fine or not to fine, that is the question in Green Bay right now, because they've got a mandatory minicamp, and Rodgers, everyone knows, is not showing up. Like he's already lost a lot of money this offseason. Mm-hmm. I think he had a $500,000, you know, clause where if you showed up and basically worked out, you made 500 grand. And he just said, "I'm not doing that." So he's already lost 500.
Went to Hawaii.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. Instead. Went to Hawaii instead of taking the 500 grand, and now he can be fined upwards of, I think, $93,000 a day. So do the math. He gave up 500 grand. He's not worried about 93 grand. But the Packers do hold the right to effectively give him an exemption here and let him off the hook. And right. They're thinking it through. And I think they've got to fine him. I think you have to say, listen, we know you're not happy, but you've made this choice. You know, this isn't death in the family, injury, some charity. You're going to be throwing it in our face. You know he's going to be on Instagram and Twitter and, hey, look where I am. I'm teeing it up today. Yeah. You have to fine him. You got to be consistent. As much as he is the most important man of the 53-man roster, you cannot open up Pandora's box for the other 52. And you have to fine him, in my opinion. You've got to. You already give him preferential treatment to begin with. You're going to when he returns. He's treated like a god, even though he clearly doesn't like it or think that that's the case right now. But if I'm the Packers, you have to be consistent with this.
Yeah.
I would personally continue to fine him, not that he cares, but where do you stand on that?
Dave, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I mean, sure. To me, Hayes, like Rodgers is at war with the front office here, right?
Right.
Like, this is a war, and it's getting ugly and uglier by the day. Like, to hear what the Packers president said a couple days ago about how, you know, Aaron Rodgers has essentially divided our fan base. I mean, Aaron Rodgers ain't going to be happy about that. I mean, trying to make Aaron Rodgers out to be the bad guy here, when Rodgers can make a pretty good case that he's the guy that's been done wrong in a lot of ways here, from the drafting of Jordan Love instead of somebody that could help them in the here and now, and a longer list of stuff about how, you know, the Packers have just not been able to produce the kind of defenses you need to win while having an MVP quarterback. So I got to think they're going to find him. I almost think they don't want him to show up in some ways, and they don't want him to play this season. That's the theory that makes some sense to me, is that they wouldn't mind this guy sitting out so they can get Jordan Love in games and then prepare to move on and trade him in 2022.
Well, I think that was the plan a year ago, but after he played the way that he just played, I think plans are subject to change. Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
I think they'd be crazy. And if that is their belief, they should all be fired and thrown out of not only Green Bay, the state of Wisconsin, thrown out of the Midwest, our favorite region. Right, Nunes, we love the Midwest.
Yes.
Kick them out of the Midwest. Don't send them to Ohio or Detroit, because that's still in the Midwest.
That's
they
got to
go. They got to get out. Because if that's how they feel, and it wouldn't be the first time in the history of pro sports where the front office thinks they're smarter than everyone else. But I have seen this from both sides, and I am leaning more towards taking more and more issue with Aaron Rodgers and his gripes. Because you referenced Jordan Love. Yes. Should, you know, in retrospect, did they need to do that? Obviously, they didn't. But that is the one position where you always need to be planning for the future. Brett Favre was on the roster when they drafted him. Mm-hmm. You know, they drafted him. They could have bypassed Brett and taken a wide receiver. They didn't do that. And it's funny how the shoe's on the other foot. Now he takes issue with it. It sounds like what he really takes issue with is they didn't tip him off. Not so much that they took Love, although he didn't like it. They didn't give him any heads up. But they've been to back-to-back NFC championship games. That's a pretty damn good
team. Thanks to him.
Fine, but it's still, there's other pieces around him. He's got arguably the best left tackle in football, top five running back, top five wide receiver. You know, mm-hmm. like he's got a pretty good team around him. Let's not pretend like this guy's been playing, you know, in the abyss for his whole career. They've done pretty well by him. And I get it. He doesn't like everything, and he's entitled to that because of his position and his power. But at some point, I think he's got to just say enough and come back and play. But we're not that close to September yet. Here is Adam Rank, NFL Network analyst. Thank you for doing this, Adam. And with a mandatory minicamp starting in Green Bay tomorrow, I guess the debate is raging on. Should they fine Rodgers or should they not fine Rodgers? How do you see it plan out? And what do you think would be in the best interest of the Green Bay Packers?
Well, I'm talking about the best interest of the Chicago Bears, which is my team growing up. And I say, Aaron Rodgers, you do you.
Right.
You hold out, buddy.
Yeah.
I got your back. They're not doing you well. They're not doing you right. Yeah, this is one of those things is I've been burned so many times thinking that we have Rodgers right where we want him that I know he's going to be there in week one dealing on the cusp of another season, throwing 45 to 50 touchdowns. It seems pretty bad right now. And I had the opportunity to listen to exactly what you're saying. I kind of agree. I agree with the overarching point. Like, hey, the Packers need to think about the future. Jordan Love was one of those guys who could have been a top five draft pick. He fell, you know, kind of similar to what Rodgers did. You know, he could have been the number one overall selection. The 49ers went with Alex Smith. The Packers saw the value in taking Aaron Rodgers. So I see the similarities, but I think that when you're so close and you look at what Tampa Bay has done, where they could have been, hey, listen, we got Jameis, we're good. Nope, they went out there and they got Tom Brady. And they had a roster that had Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Cameron Brate. And you could have been like, look, Tom, there's enough people for here for you to win. And instead they go out, they get Gronk, Antonio Brown, they get Leonard Fournette. And I think that's where the gripe comes from. It's like, why aren't we going for it? Like, no disrespect to MVS or Alan Lazard or anybody like that. But when you have a chance to go out there and get another wide receiver to go opposite Devontae Adams. I think about when DeAndre Hopkins was traded. Like, unless Houston, which this entirely could have happened, just flipped open the NFL black book, called the Cardinals, and then nobody else because it's the first name that comes up.
Right.
You know, like, I could see Bill O'Brien just being like, I'll call the Cardinals, and Steve Kimes just like, yeah, whatever, I'll give you a second, laughing. And they're like, okay, done, sold. Where were the Packers in that? Like, why are you not? If the Texans called you up and said, "Hey, we got an offer on the table for David Johnson and a second for DeAndre Hopkins," the Packers should have moved a first round pick if they were involved in any sort of conversation. So I think that there's enough blame on both sides, but they really need to find a way to work it out because, as you said, they're way too close to the Super Bowl to have these kind of petty differences.
Well, you know, that's for sure, Adam. But the problem is, like, this is a very, you know, strong-willed individual in Aaron Rodgers. And, and the battle lines have been drawn here. I mean, you've got, you know, prominent football insiders like Peter King sort of, you know, drafting sort of scenarios that can make this thing work, including the Packers pitching the idea of, okay, we'll trade you next year. Give us one more year. And then we will get, you know, you can give us a list of the teams you want to go to and we will make this, you know, like an amicable divorce. But do you see that working or how do you see this thing playing out?
Yeah, because the Seahawks were in a similar situation with Russell Wilson where they're kind of caught off guard of like, oh, wow, I didn't know this was going to be an issue so quick. It's one of the reasons why even though the Bears, for instance, gave an pretty good offer for Russell Wilson, the Seahawks just weren't ready for it. They're like, well, we don't want to start the season with Geno Smith. If we take the Bears' number 20 selection, we don't know that we can get a quarterback to replace him. Obviously, the Bears went out and got Justin Fields, so it would have been easy for them. Not easy, but they would have been possible for them to move up to address their quarterback needs. But, yeah, these teams kind of need a chance to kind of get their ducks in a row. And I think that there could be something like Peter King said, like, hey, give us one more year. Like, we get it. You're upset. Fine. Just give us this one year. Let's give it a go for one last chance. Bulaga's going to be back. Bakari. He's back. Devontae Adams is still one of the best in the game. Aaron Jones re-signed. Excuse me. I'm getting verklempt just thinking of Aaron Rodgers leaving. But you also have A.J. Dillon, and that was questionable last year, too. Like, a lot of people think about, you know, moving up for Jordan Love. They also didn't need to draft A.J. Dillon, who ended up being pretty good, and they allowed Jamal Williams to walk. But, yeah.
That'll pay off this year.
I think it will.
That's the thing about what's happening here. Like, we referenced Tampa Bay, and it's I understand it, and I get it. They just won the Super Bowl, and it's a copycat league. But what about the team Brady was with 20 years prior to that? They didn't do that. They didn't just run out and grab everybody. they had a consistent philosophy, and it worked for them. Who would you rather be the last 25 years, Tampa Bay or the Patriots? And that's the issue here. Is I get it. Rodgers is like, well, what about Tampa? Like, they went out and got all that. Right, but you go to the playoffs every single year. Every year you go to the playoffs. And you know that, Adam, as a Bears fan. You're on the wrong side of it.
I know. I'm aware.
To question the philosophy of the Packers, to me, should they have more Super Bowls? Probably. Yeah, I think you could argue that. Should New Orleans have more than one? Probably. Yeah, I think you could argue that. You know, it's they go to the well every single year. They build through the draft, and it's been very successful. They've been to back-to-back NFC Championship games. Like, Rodgers is, through the media, portraying this idea that this team is going to win five games this year. And that's just not the truth. And it never has been the truth, for the most part, throughout his career in Green Bay. So
I kind of like – no, I like where you're headed. I think I know. Like, if I can read between the lines – you're saying that Rodgers is a choker, and I'm in on that. Like, I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far, but there were times.
There's some ridiculous circumstances that have gone against him, like the onside kick in Seattle and some of the other things.
Right.
And it is so exceedingly difficult to win a Super Bowl. And I do understand that Tom Brady's kind of, He's been a little ridiculous that he has seven of them. Like, the dude could have nine of them. Like, I even think, like, you think of, like, I was the year the Broncos won with Peyton Manning, Super Bowl 50. I know in that AFC Championship game, like, Tom Brady was kind of, you know, Gostkowski missed an extra point, which put Belichick in this weird vortex of where he kept going for two, where had he just taken field goals and stuff, they might have won that game. You think of the Super Bowl that both Manning Super Bowls that he won, like the Colts won. Like, if the Patriots were leading 21-0 and blew a lead, and the Colts went on and they beat the Bears, but not like Tom Brady wouldn't have beat, you know, Rex Grossman or anything like that.
Right, exactly.
It's so incredible. But at some point, it's like, how did you not get the second one? Like, how did you not sneak in to get that second Super Bowl? I'm not saying that you needed to win seven like Tom Brady. But like you said with the Saints, you can say the same thing about the Seahawks. Like, Rodgers, Wilson, and Drew Brees, you look at those guys, and you look at the competition they've been facing in the NFC, it's like, how did you guys not see, how is Eli the guy
right
over the last 20 years? How is he the guy who won two Super Bowls? You have not won another one. And the funny thing, too, is, and as much as we make out of, you know, not drafting a wide receiver or anything like that, which is kind of egregious, but, like, this is one of the best defensive teams Green Bay has. Like, I was looking at their roster, and I was looking at their secondary in particular. I'm like, that's a really good football team.
They're
like,
loaded.
if they traded Rodgers to Vegas, and they got Derek Carr in return, you know, for instance, I'm not saying that's on the table or anything like that. It's like, that I would look at that Green Bay team as being very competitive because of that defense.
I'm with you, and I think that's obviously they want him back. The players certainly do, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. On the AFC side of things, Julio Jones is now – he's leaving the NFC. He's on his way to Tennessee. And a second-rounder, they flipped a couple of picks later in the draft, but effectively it's a second-rounder. I mean, that's basically what Tennessee paid. Are you surprised no one else was willing to pay that? And are you surprised at all that this happened so quickly? Like, it was 2 weeks ago, this guy was getting catfished on a Fox Sports show, and now all of a sudden he's in Tennessee and he's a Titan. Like, what do you make of this?
Yeah, you know what? I'm surprised from the Falcons' standpoint in that they did not return a receiver that they could count on for this season. So I think that, you know, by drafting Kyle Pitts, that was kind of an indication to me that the Falcons feel they're going to be very competitive, and I love Calvin Ridley and I love Pitts, but Julio makes that team, you know, one of the better ones in the NFC. At least I would have thought, at least offensively. So I love what Tennessee did, and I'm surprised more teams. I think of, you know, let's just assume that only the AFC was involved. You look at the Chargers, the Raiders. I think those two teams right off the top stand out to me of, like, why were you not going in on it? Like, look at all the money that the Patriots paid for two tight ends, for Hunter Henry, for Jonnu Smith, and these other, you know, it's like, gosh, you know, if you would have just waited, didn't go spend all your money so quickly, you probably could have had Julio Jones for a second round pick, probably would have been better off. And I look at that Titans team, and losing Jonnu Smith, I think, was bigger than a lot of people were going to give it credit for. Because I like Josh Reynolds. I think that he can go in and replicate what Corey Davis did last year. But losing Jonnu near the goal line, like, it's going to be so weird to see the Titans actually go to Julio near the goal line, because I really think they're going to use him in those situations. But you look at that squad and, like, the imposing, like, how imposing they are. Like, Derrick Henry is an imposing human being. Like, I'm used to seeing NFL players walk around our building. Derrick Henry is different. And A.J. Brown is different. And Julio, obviously, is in that category as well. And I think that we need to recognize, too, that Ryan Tannehill is a good quarterback. Like, that, whatever happened to Miami, that doesn't matter anymore. Ryan Tannehill can throw the football. He's a good quarterback. And I think that Titans team really did themselves very well, because they're going to need to outscore some people because their defense quite isn't there. But I think that that's a very good team. And, you know, between them and the Chargers, I thought those were two teams. I'm like, oh, one of these teams can make a run this season. And I think that the Titans swung it in their favor by getting Julio.
Well, that was what I was going to ask you, Adam. You know, we talk about, you know, Julio Jones and player empowerment. It's obviously not what it is in the NFL as it is in the NBA. NFL players have limited leverage, because he had talked about wanting to go somewhere with a big-armed quarterback. And, you know, I don't really see Ryan Tannehill necessarily synonymous with a big arm, but what do you make of his power play there, and whether or not he sort of got what he wanted in terms of the type of quarterback he was seeking?
I think he did. I think Tannehill, Elway, I don't know why it was the first name that came to mind, but he's not one of those prototypical huge arm quarterbacks, but I think that Ryan Tannehill is very good. And I don't think that Julio looked at that situation as one to avoid. Like, I could see him not wanting to go to the Jets. Like, we don't know what's going on with the Jets, but I do, you know, I do like, you know, the whole situation. I like the super team kind of aspect. I wish it was more NBA-like. If we would have seen something ridiculous where, like, Julio ended up in Denver, and Denver sent Drew Locke to Green Bay, and they also got Roger. You know, like, one of those crazy, like, three teams involved, and there's picks going to one side, and, you know, Jerry Jeudy ends up in Atlanta. Like, I don't know. Just one of those things. I would have loved to have seen it. Cause I think it's fun. I know that, you know, sometimes it gets a little maddening and it feels like you're just rooting for laundry at some point. But at the same time, it's like when these teams get together, like, they're a lot of fun to watch. They're like, we know who the good teams are. Like, let's see Julio that would have been fun. Like, Julio and Aaron force their way to Las Vegas, and, like, Derek goes, you know, he goes to Green Bay, and they send Devontae Adams to Atlanta. I know that's a terrible scenario, but, you know, something like that. I would have loved to have seen it. So I'm actually a huge fan of it. I don't know if I'm boomer enough to be upset about, like, I remember back when these guys stayed together for 30 years, but I do kind of like to see a little bit of the movement and like to see these power teams.
Yep, I'm with you on that. Thank you, Adam. Really appreciate the time, man. We'll do it again down the road.
I talked way too much, and you guys are so cordial. I appreciate you, but thank you so much for having me, and I hope we can do it again real soon.
You got it. Go Pack. Appreciate it. There's Adam Rank of the NFL Network
as
he
goes
on hold. Yeah, big Bears fan. And, I mean, the Julio Jones move, I'm with you, though, Dave, about, like, Tannehill is obviously not Mahomes, is not Herbert. Like, this guy does not have a rocket of an arm. He throws the ball, like, 18 times, you know, in a game.
I mean, they're built around a running back.
And you know Derrick Henry's running the ball.
Yeah,
exactly. So I don't know what this means for Julio Jones. I mean, he's been to a Super Bowl. He wants to win one, clearly. Yes. Tennessee's going to have a good team. You know, Vrabel's a good coach. They got a good O-line. I think they'll be a good team for sure, but they're better than Kansas City? No, I don't see that. They're probably the best team in the South, though. I'll give them that.
They might be, but it just goes to show, like, It's how fleeting NFL careers can be. Because, like, a couple of years ago, like, Julio Jones was synonymous with, you know, the biggest threat to catch the football in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
Like, he was that good. Like, he was that scary an opponent, right? And now he's 32. Last year he missed his seven games. And suddenly he's going for a second-round pick. Like it's that it can you can it's go from the top of the mountain
yep.
down the mountain pretty quick, man.
And draft collateral is just it's worth so much more in the NFL. Like
yeah.
teams just won't give it up. They're like, we're you know, this is all we're willing to give you. It's like, man, that's a really good player that could have a huge impact, and it's just it's almost impossible to get first round picks out of teams unless they're trading up to take a quarterback higher in the draft. You know,
yeah.
like that's about it. Like unless it's a quarterback, every other position you can't get crazy with a first round pick. And if you do, it might burn you. Like there have been examples of it. Minka Fitzpatrick, Pittsburgh paid a first. I think they're happy with that. He's been great. So Jamal Adams, I believe, in Seattle, they paid a first-round pick for him, but now they're paying the price. They have, like Seattle's barely been drafting the past couple of years.
Yeah,
this year they had like three picks or whatever.
Catches up to you.
It catches up to you at some point. The NFL is all about building through the draft, and like that's what the Packers, that's been their philosophy. It can be very frustrating. Like I want to see them make moves. I want to see them sign more guys in free agency, and their new GM has done that a lot more than the previous one, but they're committed to the draft. That's what they do. They scout, they load up, they bring in, they let guys walk when they're about to get paid. That's the system in the NFL that works. And
yeah,
it's a winning
it
formula.
And but if you're 37-year-old Aaron Rodgers, it doesn't work for you.
Yeah, you don't care about them planning for 2028.
Right.
You know, like what does it matter to you? Obviously, I get it, but that this is what is at stake, man. This is an existential moment. Like it was for Belichick and the Pats. Like, do you keep going to war with this guy or let him walk?